Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 73. Tavadasyam aham jagye tadrapi brahmavadinam sushushayanu sangena praptoham brahmaputratam. Tava, since being cursed, dasyam, in the womb of a maidservant, aham, I, yagye, took birth, tatrapi, although being a shudra, brahmavadinam, unto persons well conversant with the Vedic knowledge. Sushushaya, by rendering service. Anusangena, simultaneously. Prapta, obtained. Aham, I, Brahmaputranatam, a birth as a son of Lord Brahma in this life. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas, who were well-versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as a son of Lord Brahma. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, Mami Parthabya Pashitya Yepi Supapayonaya Striyo Vaisha Sita Sudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. O Sena Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. Doesn't matter whether a person is born as a Shudra, a woman, or a Vaishya, if he associates with devotees repeatedly or always, sarusangena, he can be elevated to the highest perfection. Narada Muni is explaining this in relation to his own life. The Sankirtan movement is important regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Malecha, Yavana, or whatever. If one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions, and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. Anya bilasita shunya. One has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotee, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narada Muni through this practical example from his own life. Tavat dasyamaham jagne tatrapi brahmavadinam shushu shayanu sangena praptoham brahmaputratam. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who are well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. Prahlad Maharaj has explained, Matirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam Adantagobhir Vishitam Tamisram Punak punas charvita charvananam. Generally, people don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. And therefore, they spend their time trying to solve material problems, either personally or with the help of others or by a combination of both. But what are these material problems? The material problem is that we want to make our material circumstance as comfortable as possible, without, with as little problems as possible. This is called Griha Vratanam. So most people waste their time, whether they be Shudras or Vaishyas or whatever. Of course, it's expected that people have more intelligence. They'll be able to more readily understand what the goal of life is, what the purpose of life is. For instance, Srila Prabhupada was talking to Professor Katosky at the University of Moscow, and he couldn't understand, Professor Katosky could understand practically nothing of what Prabhupada was saying. Namely, that the body's changing, but the self inside the body is not changing. That we ourselves are eternal, but we're in a temporary body. So if one cannot understand this, then they're said to be on the level of the cow or the ass. Siyatma buddhi kunupe tri taduke swadikal tradishu boma idradi yatirta buddhe sahale nakari chish ganesh babageshu seva gokara. They're on the level of go and kara, a cow or an ass. Now, if one is so-called Shudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmin and can understand this philosophy, then they're actually learned. They actually are beginning the platform of real knowledge. Everything else besides this can be considered, if one can, well, we could say, if one does not understand that there's a difference between oneself and the body, one is said to be simply in ignorance. And whatever he does will be a waste of time. What to speak of not knowing Krishna, and what to speak of avajananti mamuda manushim tanam ashityam param bhavam ajanato mama bhuta maheshwaram. That the fools, they deride my descending in this human form. They don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. So there are a number of people who are fools in Bhagavad Gita. These are the worst fools. Those who deride Krishna, thinking him to be an ordinary human being. But there are other fools, as Krishna says, utkramantam stitim vapi bunjana vagunan vita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The fools cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So they're also fools. Those who can't even understand what kind of body they're in. It's one thing to think I'm this body, but if you don't even know what body you're in, you're obviously a fool. But even to identify oneself with a body means that one is a fool. And even if one thinks he's a soul, but he doesn't know Krishna, or he thinks Krishna is just an ordinary person, then they're also fools. And other fools are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know another fool that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Where else is Mudha mentioned? What's that? Vimudatma, yeah. Kartaham iti manyate, that's right. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. They're vimudatmas. They're not just fools, but they're super fools. One who thinks himself to be a doer, which are actually carried by the prakrite kriyamanani. So prakriti is the kriya, is the doer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha, and all the activities of the gunas. Kartaham iti manyate. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma. So one who's under the spell of ahankar, then he's called a vimudatma. Kartaham iti manyate. And he thinks himself to be the doer of the activities which are actually carried out by the three modes. So, this misidentification of the body, thinking oneself to be the doer, thinking oneself to be the enjoyer, idam te na tapaskaya, no. idam te idam ya imam par par no, ma, ma idam te idam adyamaya labdva imam prapse manoritam idam astiya api me bhavishyati purardhanam asomaya hatakshatra hainishe chapuranapi ishvarahamaham bogi sarahamaham Ishvarahamaham bogi sarahamaham suki adyo bijanavanasmi konyosti sadrishomaya yakshe dashami modisha itya ham sadrishomaya one who thinks, so much wealth do I have today and I'll gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine and I'll get more and more in the future. He is my enemy and I have killed him and all my other enemies will be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I'll perform some sacrifice. I'll give some charity and this I'll rejoice. In this way, the demoniac are bewildered by ignorance. So we see that under delusion, after lust, anger, and greed, when we work according to this, we become deluded, and that delusion is summarized in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita and in many others. On the other hand, if one is a simple devotee of Krishna and understands that whatever position I'm in, I'm simply meant to serve Krishna, then one is eligible to go back to the spiritual world eventually. It's not a question of what material position one is, but it's a question of utilizing that position in Krishna's service, understanding things properly, acting under proper guidance, developing the proper attitude, and eventually becoming conscious of Krishna by Krishna's mercy. Therefore, mamhi parshav yapashitya, api supapayonaya, Striyo vaisya satasu dras te piyanti paramgatim. It doesn't matter if one is a shudra or a vaisya or other lower births, that if one takes shelter of Krishna, then he'll gradually make progress towards enlightenment. But then Krishna says, what to speak of the Brahmins? Mamhi partha vipashitya ye pisa papasunaya. Striyo vaishyatatasu drastepiyanti puram gitim kim punar brahmana punyas bhaktara darshyas tata anityam asukam lokam imam prapse bhajasvama. But what to speak of the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas and the devotees who in this miserable material existence engage in service to me? So anyone who takes shelter of Krishna is eligible to make progress, either through the modes of material nature or in pure devotional service. So that's what the division is. Some people take shelter of Krishna and some people don't. And of course, people may come to a certain level, just like if one is a Naradama. It means that he must have done something pious in his last lifetime to become elevated to the position of a Naradama. If he was a Shudra in his last lifetime and he faithfully served as a Shudra, then in this lifetime he may become a Vaishya. But if he misuses the position of a Vaishya for sense gratification, then he becomes a Naradama, the lowest among men. He becomes actively foolish, like the monkeys. Shudras are generally considered to be foolish, but they're usually less actively foolish because they have no brains to do a whole lot. But the Naradamas, they have some intelligence to destroy the world, to make so many problems. But even if one is a Naradama or one is a Vaishya, if he faithfully protects the cows and performs his duties for the sacrifice, then he may be elevated to the position of a Kshatriya. But becoming elevated to that position If he misuses it, then he becomes a Maya Pritigyana. Maya Pritigyana means they take shelter of not to gain knowledge of people of superior knowledge, supposedly. But actually, if they take shelter of the Asuram Bhavam Ashityas, people who are so-called the mode of goodness, but they're actually Asuras, they envy Krishna, they're impersonalists and Mayavadis, then such managers of society, they simply are mental speculators. Generally speaking, they simply serve their senses, which means that they are simply use their higher ability to take shelter of Vedic knowledge and misuse it simply for sense gratification and mental speculation. They take the role of teachers or administrators, and they simply mislead people that the goal of life is sense gratification. So similarly, one may be elevated by proper utilizing the knowledge one has heard from the Brahmins to the position of a Brahmin, but if one takes that position and thinks he's God or superior to everyone else, then he becomes an Asuram Bhavam Ashritya. So at any stage, Maya is always offering us the opportunity to fall back into Maya and misuse our position. Only when one becomes actually a pure devotee, Brahma, on this platform, at least liberation. Prabhupada said that those who are at the platform of Brahma Bhuta, who have realized that they're not their body, they generally don't fall down. But one who's actually in the platform of Uttama Adhikari, as mentioned here, Anyabhilasita Shunyam Jnana Karma Diravritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. There's ordinary bhakti, which the neophyte devotee performs. That is, that they know that the goal of life is Krishna, that they're supposed to do things for Krishna, so that's called knowledge. And they know they're supposed to follow what Krishna's authorities tell him, his representatives. That's called abhideya. And they know they're supposed to do it to please Krishna, anukulyena. So that's called prayojana. But we may know Sambandha, we know Abhideya, we know Prayojana, but we may be contaminated by other desires. For instance, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, when one knows that the goal of life is Krishna, but one is addicted to the result, enjoying the results of his activities, then he's said to be acting karma yoga. So that means we know Krishna, and we're performing activities dutifully, but we want to get the result. We're not so much interested in pleasing Krishna as to please our own senses. One knows that the goal of life is Krishna, but takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he's said to be acting in jnana yoga. So one acts dutifully under the direction of the previous acharyas. He knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in something to do with Krishna, but it's not to please Krishna, it's in understanding Krishna. So only when one seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness, he's said to be acting Buddha Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. That's called Anyabhilasita Shunyam, no other desire than to please Krishna. And jnana karma davrita. He doesn't do anything which is outside of what's authorized by the acharyas. So, anyabhilasita shunyam is corresponding to anukulyena. That is, he has no desire other than to please Krishna. And anyabhilasita shunyam, jnana karma davrita corresponds to Anushilana. He only does what the previous acharyas are sanctioning. So that's called Uttama Bhakti. And at Uttama Bhakti, one is actually conscious of Krishna, and when one is in that ecstasy, and can see everything and everyone in relation to Krishna. Krishna says, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Yomam pashati sarvatra, saram me pashati, tasyam na pranashami, na chame na pranashati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So that is open to everyone. There's no one stopping us from thinking about Krishna. It's not that you start thinking about Krishna and a big red light goes on. Stop. You thought too much about Krishna. There's smoke coming out of your ears. Stop before you explode. No, there's no impediment, just our causeless unwillingness to do it. We have too many other things to do other than remember Krishna. Or we have too many other things to do we have many other things to do besides doing the things that will help us remember Krishna. But anyone who has that intelligence, just like some of the ladies used to ask Prabhupada, so Prabhupada, say that the ladies are less intelligent. Does that mean that we're less intelligent? And Prabhupada's response, at least once, was that if you think you're a lady, then you're less intelligent. And if you think you're Krishna's eternal servant, like Queen Kunti, then you're the most intelligent. The gopis, they consider themselves less intelligent, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, thought that there's no one higher than them. What's that verse? Ramya Kinchit? Do you know that verse? Yeah. What's the first line? Ramya Kinchit, Brajavadu. That there's no one better than the damsels of Braj, because they're in love with Krishna. And that's the goal. Even if one is born in the lower animal species, if he's in love with Krishna, he's reached perfection. Because the body has nothing to do with the soul, or the soul has nothing to do with the body. So if the soul's in love with Krishna, then they're the most intelligent. You can't get any better than that. And if one is not conscious of Krishna, you can't get any worse. Then everything one is doing is simply a waste of time. Now, how much we get praised by other fools like we are, it makes no difference. At the time of death, when we have to leave this body, there's not a popularity poll to determine where you're going. The Yamadutas come and they do an interview with all the people you know. Did you like him? Thumbs up. All right, you go to heaven. Thumbs down. Oh, sorry. Like in the Colosseums, when the gladiators would fight, at the end when one gladiator would vanquish the other, then the crowd would either put their thumbs up or down, determine the fate of the gladiator that was defeated. That's not how it works. Krishna knows exactly what we've done, what we deserve, and if we don't do things in Krishna consciousness, then we're not going to, whatever our destination is, whether good or bad, will not be ultimately beneficial for the self. Unless the self, somehow or another, came in contact with devotees, like King Nariga. He wasn't a pure devotee, but he was a very pious personality. And he was a devotee. He was so pious, he gave away more cows every day to the Brahmins than there are stars in the sky. I can't give you an estimate. And they weren't ordinary cows. They had silver, they had golden hooves, silver-plated hooves and golden horns. And they were covered with a silken wrapper. And they had just a newborn calf, so they were giving milk. And he did many other pious activities, giving food and shelter, the pilgrims, giving grains and all kinds of charity to the Brahmins. But just by making a little mistake, giving a cow away twice, he was cursed by Brahmins to become, and he became a serpent. Not exactly a serpent, he became a lizard. A little higher up than a serpent. And it was in a well, a dry well, suffering. But he was remembering Krishna. So he didn't do exactly devotional activities, but he did pious activities, but he did them in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, although he was cursed to become a lizard, he was in meditation in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he was actually benedicted more by that curse than he would have been if he would have gotten blessings from them. Because at least he became serious about his meditation on Krishna, and therefore afterward, when he went to enjoy his heavenly opulences, undoubtedly he was still in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, adding auspicious Krishna consciousness to our activities, even if they're sometimes fruitive or speculative, still that will eventually purify us. Although, in the case of King Nariga, because it wasn't pure devotional service, there's always some fault in this world. And therefore he had to get into a rather unpleasant situation, although he was doing everything possible to get into the most pleasant situation possible. But that's not possible. That was ha jam karma kundiya. That's the wrong verse. It's close. I got the wrong one there. Saha jam karma kundiya hidosham iti na tyajet. Savaramba hidoshena dumena vir vavrita. Actually, I got the right verse. 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That sahajam karma. One should do his own duty, although it's full of fault. Just like fire is sometimes covered by smoke. So, although fire is covered by smoke, still, fire is still pure. Sahajam karma kundiya sadosham api natyajan. Although, one should do his duty, although it has some fault. What's that? 48. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. One should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. But that's not the end of Bhagavad Gita. Better, we should do our work. We should find out what our work is, or else we're just simply fools. 99.9% of the people in this world have no idea what they're supposed to be doing. Therefore, they're doing everything wrong. Nor are we about to tell people what their position is, because everyone's a Shudra in Kali Yuga, practically speaking, and there are no Vaishyas or Kshatriyas or Brahmins to serve. So you're lost even if you know you're a Shudra. You don't know what to do. Therefore, one has to engage in the Sankirtan movement. But in our activities, there are going to be so many faults. But still, one should try to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And one can expect that, although there's faults, it's not that we're supposed to cultivate the faults. We should try to stop the faults, try to do the service the best we can, at the same time emphasize Krishna consciousness, so that in our next lifetime, at least, even if we don't become successful, we'll have the best possible opportunity to make further progress in Krishna consciousness. This idea, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I can do whatever I want, everything's fine, because I'm a devotee and Krishna always favors his devotees. At the end of life, surely I'll go back to Godhead, because I sat in an initiation ceremony, threw some grains in, my spiritual master took all my karma, now I'm pure. Only Krishna knows where he's going, but I'm going back to Godhead. That's not how things work. No, we have to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. And if we don't become perfect, at least we should try to do our duty faithfully as the best we can, whatever it is. So in the next lifetime, we get, even if we have to take birth again, it'll be in a situation where we get the best opportunity to make further spiritual advancement. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Oh, now we're going to have two questions every day. We have Avaduta Roy, he asks questions. But, no, you go first. That's right.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. In this purport, there is some statement near the end. Prabhupada says that this Sankirtan movement is important For regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Mlecha, Yavana, or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. So it looks like Srila Prabhupada wants this whole movement to be pure devotees.
But or at least to follow a pure devotee. Of course, Prabhupada would want everyone to become a pure devotee, that's the whole point. But even if we're not on the highest level, Uttama Bhakti, because there's first class pure devotee, second class pure devotee, and third class pure devotee. But still, whether we're first, second, or third class, one should be serving the pure devotee. In other words, our potency comes from the fact, as much as we understood the desires and the proper attitude of the pure devotee, and serve those desires in the proper attitude, then we become powerful, or we become empowered in order to help others serve the pure devotee also.
Thank you. The next one, there are some Vaishnava movements, Gaudiya Vaishnava movements, they come and they say, okay, all of you are third class, I don't know, pure devotees, not pure devotees, but our lecturer is the real pure devotee.
Everyone thinks like that. Even you take football teams, people think that my football team is the real football team. That's natural. Mother Jasoda thinks Krishna, Krishna is mine. And the gopis think Krishna is mine. Everyone thinks, they're the best. They think Mother Jasoda thinks the Madhurya Rasa is the best. The gopis think, the Vatsalya Rasa is the best, and the gopis think Madhurya Rasa is. Everyone has this idea that we're the best. So, that's normal. But ultimately, everyone who has a guru and is in love with their guru, they're going to think they're their best. It doesn't matter who they are. That's natural, because they're all representing Krishna to some degree or another.
So from our side, what would be the proper response to such people canvassing among our ranks?
Well, anyone who thinks that if they're spiritual masters saying, I'm the topmost devotee, then obviously he's a neophyte devotee. Because the topmost devotee is humble. So if the followers are criticizing others and thinking they're superior, then they're inferior. And the devotees who are humble and appreciating others and not as amadi na amadi deena kirtini aksadahari, then they'll actually get benefit from the chanting Hare Krishna. So, everyone in the material world came here to become superior to others, so anyone who thinks they've become superior to everyone else, then they become the lowest. And anyone who thinks everyone else is a great devotee, except for themselves, then they become the highest. Just like when Rupa Goswami, when this pandit was coming around, and wanted to debate against Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami said, no, I don't want to debate here. He'll sign this letter, you're defeated. So then he signed the letter, this pandit has defeated me. And similarly, he went to Sanatana Goswami, and yes, you defeated me, he signed the letter. And then he went to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami said, first debate me, and then we'll see. And he completely crushed the guy. And then, I guess Rupa Goswami must have ripped up the letters of defeat. Jiva Goswami must have ripped up the... And when Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami heard about that, he banished Jiva Goswami. So it's a whole different attitude and mood than we're used to.
By the six Goswamis, Narada Muni is identified as an expansion of Madhumanga. Why elevated personalities go through low-class activities before manifesting their real divine nature, like also Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Do they have to experience the suffering of this world to preach better, or how to understand this?
What was that? Who? Madhumangala is who?
Narada Muni.
I never heard that. Is Mara Mangal was Narada Muni. I thought was Mara Mangal was he was the Sandipani Muni's son, and he got somewhere or another. He found himself. He's either swallowed by that conch shell, or he wound up in Yamaraj's kingdom. There must be some stories behind it. Oh, how do we understand? We can't understand it. We don't understand anything. We don't even understand we're not this body. How are we going to understand what a pure devotee is doing? Madam Anga is an eternal servant of Krishna. They never become conditioned souls. But they may go through pastimes here in the material world. But what they're experiencing, how can we know what they're experiencing? We don't even know, we're not even aware of who we are. But anyhow, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, they're nitya siddhas, they don't. Whatever their situation, they're liberated.
Srila Prabhupada once said, all ISKCON devotees are pure devotees, at least at that time. What qualifies the third and second class devotees not yet completely pure to perform pure devotional service?
Well, first class person learns by hearing. Second class person learns by experience. And a person is a rascal, he never learns. So at least we're supposed to learn by experience. And then we can rise up to the platform of learning how to learn by simply hearing.
And then third one, this one is good. If I'm not the doer, how can I be the beneficiary of following the rules of Vedic wisdom? Because the modes of nature are the doer, not me as the soul.
Well, you're the desirer. You mean just like, say there's a big machine that sends a rocket somewhere. So you press the button, and then the rocket flies out. Now, you didn't throw the rocket. You just pressed the button. But it happened. So someone comes and says, you're responsible for this rocket. You say, no, I didn't do anything. The rocket just flew. But you pressed the button. So our desires, we desire, and Krishna fulfills our desires through his material or spiritual energies. So it's our desire that determines whether we go back to Krishna or we go back to the material in some mode of material nature. So it's the free will of the soul that determines his destiny. But Krishna makes the arrangements for him, either to bring him back to the spiritual world or to bring him into another material existence. Is that clear? Okay, thank you. Khwala, Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.